It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, Jay Binkley will talk to us all things football. Mock draft.
That guy's an idiot, man.
You bet it.
It's Binkley season.
Oh, dude. Mock draft. Indiana versus Miami, just like he predicted at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm. He did nail that one. Yeah.
He's like, these Hurricanes, man. They got a great defense. And don't sleep on Mendoza, because a lot of people did, and he's good.
This guy called into Ben's show this morning that I was listening to, talking about that game a little bit. He's talking about how he's going to go with Miami because they got this great tradition, and Indiana has nothing. And Ben goes, what does that have to do with anything that's going to take place on Monday? I think I was like, well, they got all these old guys coming back. Ben's like, they've got middle-aged dudes on the sidelines that nobody knows who they are that is playing, trying to hype these guys up. And Irvin, who knows what planet he's on?
Well, he's going to be in Miami. So,
well, there you go. He's already down there.
Oh,
I mean, Irvin arrived last week.
If Miami wins the national championship, hours of sleep for Michael Irvin in 72 hours.
None.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hope
3 days. Yeah, I'll give him 4 hours.
Yeah. I want him to lose, and then I want Mark Cuban to take the belt to the ass dance away from Michael Irvin.
Can I ask you how old Michael Irvin is? He's got to be mid-50s now, right?
Okay, I was going to go a little older, but that makes sense.
Oh, you would go older?
No, but the...
No, I'm trying to think. Like, he was drafted in, like, 88, right?
Okay.
Ish. Right, 88
or 89. Let's say he was 88, so it was 22 in 88 probably. So that means he was born in 66, which means he's 34, 59, 60.
So he's 60? Michael Irvin's 60?
I bet he's 59.
I bet he is 59. If Michael Irvin is that close to 60, man, I'm going to be so disappointed.
59.
He's 59. So, yeah, I told you, like 50, like mid-50s, now he's 60. That guy's a 60-year-old man on the sidelines acting like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
And the mountains on Miami, baby.
What's the Rick James quote from the Dave Chappelle show? Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Hell of a drug, man.
Damn right.
I mean, to be like that at 60 years old, right?
Oh, wait till Saturday and Sunday where they're doing like the pregame like parties and he's on stage with a microphone in his hand.
Oh, man.
Oh, America?
Yeah, no doubt. I know it's only January 14th, but we might have the audio of the year.
And at Pittsburgh?
He did? Is it official?
That's what I keep hearing. So is he a candidate here?
Holy sh! Mike, wouldn't that be awesome? Only if John takes the Pittsburgh job.
Yeah.
I don't know. That thing last week maybe disqualified him for my opening after our kicker missed a kick to let them advance. Good for Mike. Yeah. I don't know. Talk to him. I love Mike. I mean, I've admired Mike for 18 years. And that's really... shocking that he did it that way, but yeah, that's kind of crazy.
That is the voice of Steve Biscotti. He is the owner of the Baltimore Ravens. That was, man, that was awesome yesterday, because I don't know, we talked all morning about how I think it's time for Tomlin to part ways because of the playoff record. Hadn't won since 2017. He's 0-7 in his last playoff appearances and 7 straight losses. Just kind of in purgatory. And then it was the Pittsburgh way, right? Art Rooney came out with like a wonderful press release of like, Tomlin, we admire. It was just time for us to split ways. He's decided to step down. I personally think Tomlin's going to TV and then just letting the jobs marinate. There are 9 openings now in the NFL. One that is the most important one, I think, which is the best job opening, which is Baltimore. I think if you look at a roster standpoint and where they are physically and talent-wise, that is the number one job. I can't imagine. Now, for us, we would love if they just did a wife swap, right? Like Tomlin and Harbaugh, which we joked about it last week.
Yeah.
And now it's came to fruition in the real world. And it was basically the lead yesterday of Tomlin stepping down. But he does step down. And then you have this moment where things are probably a little tense. Things are a little different. Baltimore, hell, they changed the guard for the first time in 18 years. Mm-hmm. And this guy's like, hey, Tomlin's out. Oh, he did step down. Yep. Would you bring him to Baltimore? Holy blank, isn't that a great idea? Yeah. And you're like, okay, this guy gets it. He's not hard-o guy in the press conference. But Tomlin does step down. Pittsburgh has its third coach no longer since, what they say, since the Beatles broke up in 69. It's been Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin. There's a lot to dive into what this Pittsburgh job offers, what you want, what failed this system for many, many years. Watching everybody's takes on this yesterday, but the big news yesterday was Mike Tomlin stepping down as Pittsburgh's head man.
Yeah, and look, I'll be honest with you. Mike Tomlin has been the head coach since the day I met my wife, you know, and so that tells you how long of a time that's been. We're going on like 20 years, right? It's been forever and a day that he's been there, and I'm a Mike Tomlin apologist, however you want to say it. I think he was the second best coach in the NFL, you know, behind Andy Reid at this point in time. And there's so much to talk about, you know, from this Tomlin thing and the fact that he's like, I'm just done. And I don't blame him. I mean, this is a guy who's never had a losing season. And you look at what he's done in the last couple of years, too, with the quarterbacks that he's had on this roster, the people that they've kind of, you know, saddled him with at the quarterback position, the Duck Hodges, the Mason Rudolphs, the end of the line of Ben Roethlisberger, the end of the line of, you know, this guy Aaron Rodgers and Justin Fields and, you know, Russell Wilson all in between. And that guy still found ways to finish above 500. And I think that
Kenny P.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, Kenny Pickett as well. I mean, through all of that, with all of those bad quarterbacks, right? And he still found ways to win. And, you know, was it time for him to move on? Clearly, he's I'm peace out, man. Like, I'm done. I'm not going to go through this, you know, anymore. I need that break. And I'm just wondering if the year off is going to rejuvenate him or if he's going to get that year off and get that check from Fox or whoever and go, why would I want to go do this again? We're not in a better place today in the NFL without Mike Tomlin in this league. And I really believe that because as all these coaches start to go away, we're getting less and less good ones. There's, I think, what, five coaches maybe now that were employed pre-COVID with their teams?
I think that's what, yep, I
think that's what I said. Five coaches in the NFL now had this job that they're currently in before COVID. Andy Reid, then you had Shanahan, you've got McVay, and you've got McDermott all coming in 2017 together. And then there's one other that was there.
I think it's Zach Taylor.
And it is. It's Zach Taylor. It is Zach Taylor
like,
right
how
now.
Am I
and then
still
what's
here?
Sirianni's run? He's 5 years?
Yeah, he's about 5 years now. Yeah.
Just to be
be his fifth or sixth year now going in. So there's only five coaches that have been employed with their current team since before COVID. And that tells you how fast this, you know, this thing turns over in the NFL. The other thing is, too, now.
Oh, six. LaFleur as well.
Oh, LaFleur. Okay. Yeah. Six coaches.
Six.
Okay.
The loser.
Yeah. Now all of a sudden Green Bay's like, what do we have to pay you to keep you around here? Because I mean, if Pittsburgh can make a trade for him, the Giants can make a trade for him. Who knows what's this is going to be the greatest coaching cycle I think that we've experienced. I mean, with the amount of jobs that are open, with the amount of good jobs, franchises that are open, and the amount of good coaches that are potentially out there that could do this. I mean, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be wild. It's going to be nuts to see.
I mean, it was the greatest wild card week we've ever seen. Why can't it be the greatest coaching carousel we've ever seen?
Yeah.
Why can't it be the greatest offseason we've ever seen?
And the
Chiefs are involved.
Yeah, right. And it damn well may be. I'm glad we're not involved in the
coaching. Hell yeah.
Could you imagine right now if you're Arizona, okay? You're the Arizona Cardinals. You fired whatever clown show that was out there.
Shots.
Okay? And so you got rid of that guy. And now you're competing with Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and the Giants to try to get a new head coach.
And you got Tennessee down there with the number one pick.
Yeah, and Tennessee's got the number one pick, and the
Atlanta's
Raiders
got you know, talent.
Yeah. Now he's going, damn, all right. we got options, boys.
Yeah, like all of these jobs that are open right now, it's crazy, especially if you're Arizona, because you're not going to get the guy. You're probably not going to get the number four choice on your list because they're going to go elsewhere. And also, too, I think, and I do believe this, the rivalry now in the NFC North, like those games don't mean as much anymore because that was Tomlin and Harbaugh. I mean,
AFC North?
AFC, what did I say?
NFC North? Yeah. No, I meant, because I thought you were going to the floor.
The AFC, like those rivalries now that we love, that they were rivalries because the coaches bought in
the only coach
to those
kept
rivalries.
His job is the one that only coaches should have lost
his job. The only coach should have lost his job.
Irony.
There's rumors.
Where Mike Tomlin will be in a year.
Well, there's
Cincy?
Yep.
There are rumors that Stefanski could end up in Pittsburgh, which would be unbelievably great.
Great hire for them.
Yeah.
Change that offense.
But they still need a quarterback, right? And I was thinking about this yesterday. Like, if you're – who's got the number one pick? The Raiders, right?
Yep.
So if you're the Raiders right
Raiders,
now –
Raiders, Jets, Cardinals.
And you offer the number one pick to Pittsburgh for Mike Tomlin. If I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm not taking that pick. I'm not taking that trade because there's not a quarterback good enough that can turn my franchise around to give up the rights to my coach for the number one overall pick. I don't think Fernando Mendoza is going to be that good in the NFL. Great college quarterback. That number one quarterback, like if it was next year and Arch Manning was coming out or something of that nature, then maybe you would consider that. But if I'm Pittsburgh right now, I'm like, yeah, we'll just sit on this, man. I'm not going to trade Tomlin. There's really not a quarterback that we need. And until we get that quarterback, I mean, there's really not much we
could
do.
You could also say that was the problem for Pittsburgh's demise with Mike Tomlin, that they never took a quarterback. They always went and got...
Well, they got Kenny Pickett in the first round.
Well, yeah, they did that. But, I mean, they could have gotten Jackson Dart, and they could have gotten Tua, Burrow, all those guys.
Lamar
Jackson. They traded a top pick for Micah Fitzpatrick to the Dolphins. And they could have gotten a quarterback, and they didn't. And they're like, we can survive with, like, 2 years left to Ben, and then we'll just fill and replace, and we'll go...
Duck Hodges.
Yeah, we'll
Mason
do that.
Rudolph.
But they've had opportunities to draft guys, and they've chosen not to.
They've chosen not to,
they went for Aaron Rodgers, knowing that this was probably going to be the last year of Aaron Rodgers. If there was going to be one more, it would be a massive regression next year. And they just were like, we can go... Now, you could also take what I heard Broussard say yesterday, which is also the positive route, is like... With all these quarterbacks, they still didn't have losing seasons.
That's what I'm saying. And that's why Mike Tomlin doesn't get enough credit.
And it's interesting because, you know, you look at, you know, where Pittsburgh could have gone and where their franchise could have changed. Like, they literally could have had Joe Burrow.
But they don't.
Because they chose not to. Mm-hmm. And you could imagine what would happen if Mike Tomlin had Joe Burrow, right? Like, I don't know. That was one thing that is kind of murky in the water of Pittsburgh's success, is that there were opportunities to go and get a quarterback like these guys. They chose elsewise. They still won. They still got their win, but they didn't win any playoff games. Right. There's just really nothing to show for what
they
did.
And the GM is still employed, too.
Which is like, interesting.
But crazy.
Which I thought was interesting yesterday.
But they don't fire anybody. So if you work in Pittsburgh, I mean, you go to work with no pants on and you're not going to get fired.
Which I think that's the other thing that makes Pittsburgh the most appeasing job, is that you know you're going to get security.
But their roster stinks.
I don't think they're going to overnight change the way things move.
No.
If they're, because again, it's not like Cowher was successful in every single season that he was the head coach of Pittsburgh and they rode with him. Then he retires, obviously, on top. Tomlin takes over, never has a losing season. It's easy to kind of keep your guy if you're not losing, right? Yeah. But it is interesting to know that, like, let's say Stefanski goes there. He's a good offensive mind. They're going to probably tell him, like, dude, you've got at least 3-4 years to just be you.
And that's great for a coach.
Correct. It's comfortability. Yeah. Like if you came into your job and instead of signing a 2-year contract, they're like, you know what? Relax for 5 years. We like where you're at. We're going to give you a 5-year deal. We'll talk in 4 years. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, but that's not how this works, right? That's not how this industry works. And when the clock starts ticking, you start wondering when's that meeting going to happen. And then it happens. You're like, okay, 2 more years. And then it's like moving forward. But I mean, that is one thing that I think makes that job great. The Baltimore job great, obviously the roster and maybe the possibility of saying, hey, this is how we do things here. But it is interesting to see who Pittsburgh does go get, because you're anti-college guy, but Marcus Freeman is a name.
Anti-Marcus Freeman, okay, though. Yeah, because he's a leader. He's not a guy that I look at and say is a rah-rah college guy. Like his
he leads with a quiet staff.
It really does. I mean, like, he will work in the NFL.
Yeah, all
the
grown NFL men would listen to him.
Right, exactly. They'd grown men are sending their kids to go coach for him.
That's my point.
But he got another extension yesterday. And
he should have been Notre Dame. Hey, all that outside noise, it don't matter. Here's
now,
a new check.
I did talk to a friend of mine yesterday who's very tied in with Notre Dame, and he called me yesterday. He goes, you may be right. I go, what do you mean I may be right? He goes, kind of hearing that the NFL is hot on Marcus right now. And I'm like, yeah, I told you that they were going to be hot on Marcus Freeman. They're like, well, his wife's from Pittsburgh. She's not. She's a Browns fan. So he's not taking the Cleveland job or the Pittsburgh job. You just don't do that. No. You know, you can't do that. Happy life, happy wife, right? Exactly. I can't go root for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I grew up a Browns fan my whole life. I'll never do that. But no, Marcus Freeman is one of the few out of college, you know, that I would hire. He is second now in the odds. Brian Flores is the number one in the odds now.
Love it.
To get that job. Now, I will say this as
that
we were talking.
Tomlin-ish.
Yeah, we're just kind of doing
defensive
Tomlin reincarnate. Yeah,
leads with a good
but a
swag.
Guy that you respect, a guy that has command, a guy that's an adult, a guy that you know has been around the block. I know he's suing the league and whatnot, but I mean, everybody loves Brian Flores, and I think in a good situation, which Pittsburgh is, he will be great. And if you're a coach that's
Tomlin
on the free agent
from Minnesota, Flores comes from Minnesota,
and every coach that they've hired since 1970s had no ties to the Pittsburgh Steelers at all.
Coordinator Cowher in Kansas City,
right? Chuck Noll, as I don't know where he was, but like they said, they have not hired a they've not hired a coach, and obviously the three that they've hired that has any ties whatsoever to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So they're probably going to look outside the organization. But every coach that's available right now should want the Pittsburgh job, number one overall, and then you could all argue about number two through nine, because the owner's going to leave you alone and let you do your thing.
Here is somebody that needs a lot of credit, because this guy was also fired yesterday.
So my Christmas present, and I got a loss.
Oh, no. You probably would have rather had Cole, huh?
Great.
Yeah,
follow-up.
Probably. I'm feeling two of two things. A, I want A.J. Brown packing his bags, and I want him somewhere else that is not here. I love you, A.J., but, like, you can't make those drops in that game. And I also want Kevin Petullo flipping burgers at, like, the local McDonald's or something. I don't care.
Why do you say that?
Whenever he's an offensive coordinator, it's like he's flipping burgers. One side, he's cooking. One half, he's cooking. And the other half is completely raw.
So he was fired yesterday.
Yeah, that kid's name is Sam. He stole that from his dad.
That's fine.
Yeah.
At least he went on the camera and
did it. Hell yeah.
And then Greg Roman fired as well in L.A.
The interesting thing about
that guy's playoff resume sucks.
Yeah, that thing's terrible. But
one touchdown in 22 quarters or something like that for the offensive coordinator in L.A.?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, you're gone.
The Petullo one is interesting because he wasn't fired. He was demoted. Like, they did not send him out of the organization. They are wanting him back on staff.
That's wow. Amazing. No.
That's if, like, you're Petullo, you can't go back. You're just like, screw you, man.
That's like being a general manager at a restaurant. And they're like, hey, we're not going to have you as a general manager, but you're going to be like the assistant manager.
No, I'm out.
That's not happening.
Yeah, but that was the thing yesterday. It was like, he wasn't fired from the Eagles. He was removed as offensive coordinator. And Sirianni said somewhere, I saw a quote, I'd like to keep him on staff.
Mm-hmm. Then keep him as your offensive coordinator. Or by the ways. It is Wednesday.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Same kid. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
39 votes are in on the Fesco and Dusty Wednesday poll question. As a Chiefs fan, who are you rooting for on Saturday, the Bills or the Broncos? Don't tell me you're not watching it.
We've already got a comment.
Is that the first comment?
First comment. The meteor.
Oh. That's great. Yeah,
so, and everybody thinks when they comment like that, they're the first ones. They're funny. They're the only one with this original thought. And we called it in the break.
The second comment says, I'm really hoping they run the 13-man set. And I'm kidding. No, it's Vesco and Dusty Wednesday poll question. As a Chiefs fan, who are you rooting for on Saturday, the Bills or the Broncos? 79.5% of you are with Team Dusty and say the Bills. Bob, Mac, question, who are you voting for?
It's Buffalo, but
no question.
I can't believe there's 20% of Kansas Cityans, or maybe there's people from like Mike in Denver or something like that, but he's a Chiefs fan. I'm just trying to think, like, who's voting for the Broncos?
Yeah, why? Why would you do that?
I can't go for Josh Allen. He flops.
All right.
No self-respecting Chiefs fan is going to watch this game.
Somebody says Denver is a fraud. I'm rooting for Denver because I think they'll lose in the AFC Championship game. So then you want New England to win the title, and then it's all of a sudden the narrative flips back to, well, can Drake May catch Patrick Mahomes like Patrick Mahomes is trying to catch Tom Brady?
I don't know that Denver beats Houston. I don't know that New England beats Houston yet. I'm not ready to move New England over into that AFC Championship game quite yet. I think Houston stands a great chance of winning that one. So I may be picking Houston by the time the week's over in that. And if they have to go to Denver or Buffalo, good luck on either of those offenses scoring against that Houston defense. Good luck against New England scoring against a Houston defense right now.
48 votes in as a Chiefs fan. Who are you rooting for on Saturday, the Bills or the Broncos? 81.3% say Bills. 18.8% say Broncos. You 18.8% people, I need to have a conversation with y'all. But we're going to have a conversation with Jay Binkley. We'll ask him that exact same question. I guarantee you, I will bet my mortgage that I don't have, that Jay Binkley is rooting for Josh Allen and the Bills. We talk to Jay next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for there's juice all over the place.
There's juice all over the place.
This is Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your...
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.